Indeed, this is our prayer. Oh, great God, you who sent your son, a baby, an infant, a king. In these moments, hours before we move into that day in which we celebrate his birth, Holy Spirit, deepen our yearning, our longing, and our gratitude. That we would find it's not just on Christmas morning or before Christmas morning that we are whispering, come, come, Lord Jesus. But it's on our lips every day, every day, every day. In your name, King Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we have been making our way through our Advent season. Advent means arrival. Advent means that we're preparing for the arrival of Jesus. We've been working through this familiar hymn, Joy to the World. Isaac Watts wrote this. First line of that, of course, joy to the world. What we've noted as we've been taking phrases from this hymn is to remind ourselves that Watts wrote this hymn not about Jesus's birth, but about Jesus's second coming. We explored Psalm 80 to look at that, where he grabbed this passage from Psalm 80 about the return of Jesus, and he wrote, joy to the world. It happened to come upon the American culture at a moment that was Christmas, and it has been and remains, does it not, one of the most favorite Christmas hymns we sing, and we sing it a lot. And so what we've been exploring and doing as a community of faith is reminding ourselves that while we prepare for Jesus' coming, that he's born, we can't separate his being born with his coming again, which is why we've landed on this particular hymn this year. That to separate his birth from his second coming would be to drain his birth of all its meaning. We've talked a lot about living in this time that theologians call the now and not yet of the kingdom. Why is the kingdom now? Because the king has come. Why is it not yet? Because he hasn't come again. You all, Christmas, someone said this to me, I'm not going to get the quote right, but you'll get the gist of it. Someone once said, Christmas is like a magnifier. It's an intensifier. And there are some of us in the room that this season intensifies already sadder thoughts, losses we've experienced. Y'all, do you know there are many in our family of faith who are having a Christmas this year without a loved one? And not a grandparent, but someone whose life we would say ended far too soon, and Christmas intensifies that loss. And there is in that a good thing in this way. Because when we're deepened in our losses and our longing, we're reminded, come, Lord Jesus. And y'all, those words don't just land on happy birthday, Jesus. Those words land more on come, Lord Jesus, and set all things right. Do you know, when you think of the message of Christ, if you were to ask, 100 people, hey, what was Jesus's primary message? My guess is 80%, if not more, would say love. I mean, Jesus called us to love one another. And we wouldn't be wrong, but I want to remind us, you all, that that was not the primary message from his own lips when he arrived. Not just, of course, hidden at his birth, but evident in his life. You know what his message was? Read the Gospels. The kingdom of God is upon you. That was his message. And I am that promised king. If you think about the end of his life, he was crucified. We wouldn't stand back and say, yeah, they killed him because he just kept telling everybody to love everybody. He was crucified because he's the king who has come. And he's come in his first coming to conquer death, to save us from our sin. And so think about the life of Jesus, a perfectly righteous life. He dies a gruesome and horrible death on the cross, but he didn't have any sin of his own. You go, why, how can a man die if he has no sins? Well, in the case of Jesus, we know, don't we? He had my sin. He had your sin. He had the sin of the world that he took upon himself. He was buried and he rose again. He ascended to the Father. And do you know, he said, I'm going to come back one day and set all things right, whole and complete. And so when we look at the story of the Bible, I want to remind us that what we see is, as it will be in the end as it was intended in the beginning, i.e., humanity in relationship with a holy God co-reigning and co-ruling all of creation. They fell. Jesus redeemed us. And one day when he comes back, it will be a redeemed humanity co-reigning and co-ruling with Christ over all of creation. You all, we cannot separate his birth from his coming again. And so we sit in this now and, ooh, the kingdom is not yet. But how do we sit in it in life and in this season? It's why we light the candle of faith, hope, love, and peace. Because Christ is these things now. It's not that we have to wait for all of that. Are you with me? It's not that we have to go, okay, well, we're going to live in misery now until that comes. No. What is the reign of God? What is the kingdom of God? It is the reign of God. Is he reigning fully and finally in this world right now? I don't know. Let's think about it. Let's look at your own heart. There's darkness in your heart that you know, is there stuff in there you don't want anybody? Are you not all you know you ought to be, so to speak? I go, oh my gosh, no, don't. Look around your family. Look just as close as your block and go, boy, there's stuff that's not right here. Look around the world and note death and disease, injustice, pain and loss, and tears. And by the way, as I say those words, some of us in the room, as excited as we are, and appropriately so for Christmas, those words also just press deep on us. It's not a joyful time for me right now. I will have joy because of Christ, but this season actually reminds me of everything that's wrong. See, but the reign of Christ is, the present reign, is Jesus, King Jesus, reigning in our hearts. It's you and I bowing the knee to King Jesus now to say, you're my king. Lord, I want to walk with you from within, from inside out. I'm submitted to you, Jesus, my king. And therefore, the kingdom of God is present in us. In you, extending his kingdom in this world through us. The kingdom of God is now. It is now. And what am I going to say? It's what? It's not yet. It's not yet. But do you know how certain it is? I mean, what do we rest our certainty upon? Do you know God promised that he would send a male child born of a woman, Genesis 3, to crush the serpent's head? And do you know that in Christ, he delivered on that promise? And so how can we be confident? God kept his promise. And how are we confident, okay? How are we confident that he's going to come again? God promised. We're a people of promise. We believe God keeps his promises. He has and he will. You all, when you think about Jesus' words to us, and you think about his last words, and we often think of the, I kind of go to the upper room and go, yeah, those are his final words before he went to the cross. But then he spoke to them after that, right? Well, you know the last words of Christ in our Bible? I want you to think about this. The last words we have in our scripture are not Jesus saying, and I want you to remember and celebrate the day I was born. Church, keep celebrating the day I was born. Got it. No, that's not his final words. And some of you smile because you know what his final words were. Because we go to the last book of the Bible and we go to the last chapters, Revelation 22, and we hear Jesus saying, surely I'm coming again. You don't need to know Greek to know what that meant. I mean it. Surely, certainly, you can know I'm coming again. And so if you're a guest of ours, you know, you're jumping in on an Advent season that we have been in for some 4 weeks where we have been preparing our hearts in this moment, in this evening, and tomorrow morning that we would wake and we would celebrate, oh, Jesus, you came. But boy, it wouldn't be long before our next words are, and I need you to come again. We're longing for you to come again. Rob Sweet started us this way. When he comes again, you all, you know, out of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, only then will everything sad be untrue. See, only then, no more tears, no more mourning, no more pain, no more death, no more loss. We, a people of promise, oh, we rest in that. Because the kingdom is here. In you. I'm looking in your eyes. In you. In you. It's in you. It's in you. Having put your trust in Christ. In the fullness of that kingdom. It is so sure. Okay? It's so sure. That oftentimes the Bible and the prophets we'll speak of it in a past tense. It's that sure. Y'all, this, as we were reminded by our wonderful reader, this is the story that is older than ornaments, older than presents, even older and twinkling stars. And we remind ourselves, not just for us, but for the whole world. Every tribe, tongue, nation and people group. It's why one of the things we're going to do again this year is we're going to hear the Christmas story read by tribes and tongues and nations that you and I don't understand. Global partners around the world reading over us the Christmas story. I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on the captions, because you won't understand what they say. Well, some of you will, but you can read it even as you hear their voices. Here's the Christmas story from around the world. You can clap. Y'all, I listened to that, and I really did have this thought, you know, looking at it again, and I thought, how in the world did the gospel get to them in all those faraway places? And then I caught myself. Because most of them are closer to where this all happened than we are. And I said, how did it get to me? How? From Bethlehem, a baby born. To a crucifixion in Jerusalem, a burial and a resurrection. And it got to me? And it got to you? You know, we looked last Sunday that, oh, there's an enemy trying to keep that message from getting to us, right? If you were here last Sunday, you know, we went to Revelation 12 and we went through the story and said, very vividly in that apocalyptic language, you know, there's a red dragon there to eat the baby. Sometimes I'll pick up stuff or I'll get something in the room that somebody's written a note, written something on, you know, not necessarily meant for me. And usually it's children drawing something. And someone drew a picture of this message last week. I want to show it to you because they really captured the message beautifully. So speaking of the red dragon, they had drawn this and it was unsigned. So I didn't get to ask somebody, hey, can I show this? So it's not even signed. So you won't know, but Joe, this drawing, if you look at it, you gotta look for a minute. There's a red, the top says, I'm the red dragon. Clearly the pen wasn't working. They had to get it working again. And the bottom left says, I'm God, go away. Ah, the red dragon. We get so tickled at that, and I want to sober us to say the devil, Satan, is such that if God didn't restrain his influence, if you and I were to be in his presence, literally we wouldn't live. I don't know how you would live. You can't live in the presence of that kind of evil. So God restrains him, but what we know is that this baby king is a dragon slayer because he's the rightful king. He conquered death by his own death. And then that message, John describes it this way. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. I like Peterson's paraphrase in the message. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. And so, in our Advent celebration, in our Christmas Eve services, we come to light the Christ candle all the other candles held in Jesus himself. And then we're going to light candles in the room. And I said earlier, it's a visual reminder that though an infant, he's destined king to slay the dragon. And having slayed the dragon, he said, I'm going to come back one day and the kingdom will be here in fullness. In the meantime, you take my light and you give that light to every person God puts in your path. Y'all, that's how the light got to you. And it's how it will get to our community that we live in, the place we work, the place we go to school. Jesus, remind us, even as we watch one candle light the many, that this is the power of the gospel. Take a moment and take it in. A room of some 700 from one candle, one little flicker, all lit. The movement and power of the gospel. A room where it's dark and now lit because the darkness cannot overtake the light. And then don't forget, if we're standing here at the birth of Jesus, you tell me, we said it's Sunday, are you going to bet on this little flicker of a flame that we're going to blow out with a puff, or the red dragon who's after the flame? By the Spirit, we know we are on the floor with the flame. We're with the Christ, our King. Hold your candle up just a bit, and you can look around the room and see that what we see up here on stage, and that is one candle to many. Lord Jesus, we come here on the eve when we do celebrate your birth to say thank you for your obedience to take on our flesh. You didn't have to, but you became fully human. And now you will never not have a body. And oh, how that reminds us, our bodies really matter. And one day we will be in redeemed, fully restored, resurrected bodies like yours. Not because we slayed the dragon, but because you did by your death and resurrection. Thank you, Father, for sending the Son. Thank you, Spirit, for opening our eyes to see and believe. May we take this light. May it shine in and through us everywhere we go. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's do this. Let's stand up. Those of you holding kids, that's a masterful job there. This is usually where hair catches on fire because someone leans over. Count of three. One, two, three. The most powerful evil on the planet can't blow that flame out. Okay, we're not done. I'm going to send you out, but you're not done because what we've planned is a gift of sorts. Joe and team have put together, 16 artists have volunteered to give us a picture of joy to the world as they express it. So you got to take the little golden trail there to the Learning Center. That's where the places. You can get a family picture. There's some hot chocolate, something there to get you, keep you going through. Oh, there you go, chocolate from the front row. I mean, I take it y'all are going over there. Yeah, you're going now. So I want you to go and let's receive the gift of these artists in our body as they've given this to us. On behalf of the elders, Rob, myself, may I say, we do wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. God bless.